Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Michigan Literary Network radio show. I am your host, author and founder of Motown Writers Network. We are here on October the 17th, 2012 at 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. I want to thank everybody for joining us as we see the chat room filling up, and also the phone lines are filling up as we have a very special guest today. We have actor Omari Hardwick, and he's going to be in the film coming out this Friday in Metro Detroit called Middle of Nowhere. If you don't know about this film, which is very powerful, I've been watching the previews and listening to all the buzz about it. It's the winner of the Best Director Award at the 2012 Sundance Film Festival. Ava DuVernay's Middle of Nowhere is a portrait of a woman struggling between two worlds and two men in the search for herself. And we'd like to congratulate Ms. DuVernay for being the first African-American woman to win this award. You know, I'm always pro-women, so I'm just honored to even have Mr. Hardwick on the show to talk about the whole project of Middle of Nowhere. I was just touched by the previews, which I had seen like a month or so ago. And once I got the press release, I knew that we had to have either one of the cast members on the show to talk about this powerful, powerful film. So we're going to go to commercial for just a second, and then I would love for you to stay with us as we talk to Mr. Omari Hardwick about Middle of Nowhere, which opens November 19th, this Friday, in select theaters around Metro Detroit. You're listening to the Michigan Literary Network radio show hosted by Motown Writers Network. Thank you for joining us. Motown Writers connects writers to their literary goals and readers to Michigan authors. For writers, we have workshops, conferences, networking opportunities, marketing, and promotions, plus resources available online and offline. We invite writers of all stages to our free writers discussions meetings held every second Saturday except in November at the Barnes & Nobles on Wayne State University campus from 10 a.m. to noon. For readers, we provide literary entertainment, book news, and giveaways online and offline. Check out our website for more information at MotownWriters.com. The Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers annual events offline include the Essence of Motown Literary Conference and Jam, held every second Saturday in November. Also, our literary meet and greet is held in August of every year. Along with that, we have a book club mix and mingle in October. At these events, we invite readers and writers to come together to celebrate the written word, and at most events, they are free to readers. If you're interested in being a guest on our radio show, advertising with us, or promoting your literary project or service, please visit us at MotownWriters.com and click on our contact page for more information. If you're interested in hosting your own show with the Michigan Literary Network, please submit your show proposal to MotownWriters@yahoo.com. Please share our information with other readers and writers, and we hope you help us continue to strengthen the literary network in Michigan and increase literacy in the Metro Detroit community. For more information, please visit our website at www.michiganliterarynetwork.com. Okay, so we are back, and like I was saying before the commercial, today we have a special guest, actor Omari Hardwick, who is in the movie called Middle of Nowhere that is going to be opening up October 19th, this Friday, in Metro Detroit. He's on the air now. I want to thank him for being with us. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Hi.
How you doing, Detroit? And how you doing?
Hi, how are you? I'm going to say I'm a big fan of yours. I've, ever since Miracle at St. Anna.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then
I
fell in love with you in Next Day Air. I keep watching it over and over.
Funny.
I watch
That's
it
funny.
Just because of your character. I think that you always bring, even a character you play as Derek in Middle of Nowhere, you bring something, the turmoil that a lot of men go through in life that women just don't see. So I love that you have that capacity to do that, just grab us on the screen.
I thank you so much for that. I gotta first of all, say thank God, and I guess thank the environment in which I grew up for allowing such a brave, you know, such a brave effort that I'm able to find in most of these parts. I definitely think that it takes a level of bravery that a lot of actors don't necessarily want to go to. I guess I don't know why they don't, but I appreciate you recognizing the bravery with which I'm tackling even Shavu from Next Day Air. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think it's not only just bravery. It's just it's impactful that people see more of this type of characters on the screen. I do believe. Now, you play Derek, who's been locked up for 8 years while having this just overly devoted woman stay by your side.
Yeah, absolutely.
She is overly devoted. I mean, and she's gone through her life.
You're pulling it like you're pulling
devoted.
Even saying that. I know.
Because Detroit women, 8 years is a long time.
Well, you know, I would say that anyone, not just absolutely Detroit women, but you know what? Detroit women also have patience because, you know, and that's why I wanted to come out on the 19th to hang out with Detroit and Michigan. So, you know, I don't necessarily take it lightly that the city hosted Sparkle and that the city hosted my initial dream of going to college, and that is a dream of going to University of Georgia. I settled for University of Georgia and played football respectively, but I don't take it lightly in me coming to join you guys. And I think that Detroit women can feel that way, but I got to remind them that they are immensely patient because the city has gone through a lot. And, you know, shout outs to the endurance and the persistence of city officials all the way to citizens in terms of how much y'all have been patient with that city and rebuilding of that city. It's been a lot of patience
definitely,
involved.
Definitely. I wanted to start.
So practice
with
some patience with Derek is my point. Watch it with patience. Watch it with the patient eye, and don't be judgmental of how long the beautiful sister waited for me to figure out my crap. You know what I mean?
I mean, you read your crap. I do love that, you know, the two of you had great chemistry, and I know you guys were friends before the project. That you had great chemistry on the screen with her. Now, what made you, first of all, choose this project? Because, like I said, I know you were familiar with the actress, but you were also, you've worked with the director before as well.
Yeah, both of those things definitely impacted my choice to do the part, you know, to embark upon Derek and a sophomore project or sophomore effort with Ava DuVernay, who's just really, really gifted and has an incredible vision, first and foremost. And I think you always want to align yourself with people that have vision and see not only their individual pathway, but the pathway of the greater thing at hand, which is to kind of redefine black cinema specifically and what's good and help a younger generation that, to me, doesn't necessarily have a great definition of art from music all the way to cinema. And also just to broaden the appeal of the black actor and the black actress, to broaden our appeal, even if it is in the eyes of white studio execs, and also to just sort of give us, in broadening our appeal, to give us these opportunities to play these complicated, complex, dichotomous roles that many of us are as human beings walking around on this earth. And it doesn't mean that we're, you know, negative just because we're darker in skin color or are more daunting or intimidating. You know, you think about the debate And all of a sudden, President Obama is accused of being aggressive in last night's debate, and but he can't win because, you know, weeks ago and months ago, and I would even say for the last 3 years, the knock on him is that he hasn't been aggressive enough. So as soon as he's aggressive, right, then, of course, you know, it makes people throw up their arms and go, okay, that's too aggressive. And I think a lot of times there's a misnomer with African-American actors. So I took on this role because I wanted to change the perception of a guy in jail who is brown-skinned, looked at in a very beastly manner as if he's an animal locked up who's done wrong, who is scary and intimidating. And I just wanted to change it. And I thought, you know, my ability as an actor, I trusted in that ability to make people look at him in a way of, you know what, it's not so intimidating just because he's an incarcerated African-American. You know, he's loving. He loved a woman. He made a wrong choice, and he's got to suffer the consequences. You know, you know that Ava obviously came to me, if she cast me, and wanted me to try to bring as much empathy as possible. So that was my big thing, was to give him a shot at you as an audience, sort of, if not loving him, at least walking away and going, you know what, less a few minor or major, you know, bad turns. This guy is actually a very, very loving person. And so hopefully I did that. But I think I looked at the script and I thought it's an opportunity to, again, change the minds of folks and to use all of the weird complexities that are inside of Omari. And so Derek allowed me and afforded me, even though I didn't have a lot of room physically to work with, you know, you just see me in a chair, I still thought it afforded me an opportunity to show all of that crap and you know, beauty, thank God, that's inside of me.
I think you pulled it off. I think you pulled it off well, because you know, a lot of times a lot of actors get into that vulnerable and they show too much vulnerability. I think you went just to the edge, just to give us a glimpse of, this is a man, this is a human coming to you on the screen that, you know, you just have to see what's going to happen next.
Oh, I appreciate it. That's very cool of you. Thank you.
The movie as a whole, I'm very in love with it because, you know, I was just complaining like about a couple of years ago where you don't see good scripted African-American love stories that are well projected, well filmed with great dialogue that's not cheesy or fairy tale-ish or something like that. This is a real life situation that could be happening all across America.
Yeah.
And I was just, I've made the complaint about it, and I'm so glad she won at Sundance, because
yeah,
it just goes,
you know,
so that she can't bring quality to film. Oh, man,
exactly.
I was like, and I'm so glad you're a part of it.
I appreciate that. You know, I think that we'd be remiss, you and I both, if we didn't recognize the vintage effort in her doing that, and the operative word being vintage, and just reminding the world and your listeners and the viewers of you know, any of these talk shows that I've been able to go on with Ava, with Emmy, with David Oyelowo and the other cast members, and that is vintage, an aspect that we are kind of, you know, there were incredible love stories told. But you and I are of an age where we can confidently say, yeah, but you know what? In our formidable years and going into our 20s and beyond, we haven't had the opportunity. But even as far back as, you know, Lorenz and Nia's work in Love Jones, I mean, we had great stories. There were great projects told, and Sanaa Lathan and Taye Diggs and Brown Sugar. And so, you know, there are within a reach, I should say, not far back from us, even chronologically talking about our hip-hop generation age-wise, there is a reaching back that doesn't require us reaching that far to get and grab some of these films that did show us in a great light. No, we weren't getting the stories like The Notebook with Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams, but we have gotten them, and shout-out to, of course, Lady Sings the Blues and Mahogany, you know, just some incredible pieces of work. I mean, what Diane Carroll and James Earl Jones did in that phenomenal movie and love story. With, I mean, that, you know, those are incredible pieces. And in the 90s, and I would say parts of the 80s, you know, black film went to a little bit more of, let's go into the very urban communities that we come from, and John
right.
Singleton's and Spike Lee's, and we found some non-love stories, but more so what pain came out of the communities that we come from. But I love the new thing that Ava's doing, because it's like, okay, we've had enough of the shoot it up and
right.
the liquor, and we've had enough of that. Let's go back and talk about the basics, which is at the end of the day, everybody wants to be loved. And so I think it's awesome that, you know, the new world of filmmaking is affording us to not have to wait for folks or studios, I should say, to green light
right.
those projects. And, you know, Affirm and Ava and many other people are on this incredible boat that is trying to change that relationship of film, black people in film, and love stories told in film. So I think it's awesome. I agree with you.
Definitely. Okay, a little bit about you. Did you choose acting, or did acting choose you?
I think it chose me. I think it's a dope question. I was 4 years old, and I remember thinking, you know, I would love to tell some stories and maybe be an actor. And I was doing plays, you know, 2 years after that or whatever. But at four or five, I remember bringing it up to moms, and I grew up in Decatur. And for folks that don't know, I'm from, you know, Atlanta, Georgia, and specifically straight out of the deck. And I remember saying it to her, and she was like, all right, there's some classes around the corner at the local South DeKalb Mall or something like that. And I remembered in my mind, at that age, I knew my dad is a huge movie buff, and so I was that young watching Paul Newman and Cool Hand Luke and, you know, following Billy Dee Williams and all of his movies, all the way to Bingo Long, Traveling All-Stars, which my grandmother, mother, and aunt all played extras in Savannah, Georgia, where they're from. And so I didn't think of South DeKalb Mall as a place that I could catapult as this four-year-old wannabe actor. I thought Hollywood, Tinseltown. So when she said it, then, you know, later for that dream, I went into soccer, baseball, basketball, football, and track, and every other sport, and all of those sports, and that was it. You know, I never really thought about it again until maybe the last part of high school. I think I was in a production of the West Side Story, or West Side Story, but I was still, again, on the gridiron gang, I mean, on gridiron, literally, and basketball courts and baseball diamonds, and so I kind of was like, nah, I'm cool on just this. And then when I got to college, it was really a transfer from one college to the University of Georgia. So I ended up at Furman University, and then I went and continued to play football for University of Georgia, and in doing so, I decided to minor in theater, and I kind of instinctively went back to it and was like, I miss it. And I was already writing poetry, and I thought, well, you know, I think there's a weird artsy athlete inside of me. So in my opinion, you know, with the help of Athens, Georgia, Black Theatrical Ensemble, Kenny Leon out of the Alliance Theater in Atlanta, my respect for his work with August Wilson, and having graduated but still having a year to play football, I needed to pick up a minor to continue to play ball, and that minor screamed out, take theater. And so I believe it really, really found me. My thought was play in the NFL as long as you can, get cut, you know, parlay that into being a journalist, you know, maybe work for CNN back in Atlanta or ESPN and then go into acting. But, you know, God sort of laughed at that thought or plan, and he was like, no, go to New York, go to L.A. and actually tell stories, you know, via scene work and stage work, and so that's what I did. But I think it found me. But great question.
Now, I want to congratulate you on being also the new host of the well-received show, Versus and Flow.
Thank you.
A lot of people don't know that you are a poet. Do you miss the poetry life, or do you still do it a lot, or do it
I write. I'm a poet. I think, you know, at the core of who I am, I think there lies a poet, and I think that's the tree, if you can make it analogous to that. And I would say, as, you know, an actor and an ex-athlete and a lot of other things, hosting ability or whatever you may say, I think those are the branches of the tree. But I think really my tree trunk or my tree, you know, it all stems out of being a poet and seeing life in a poetic way. You know, it doesn't mean being a spoken word artist. Obviously, I've been on stage and, you know, been able to reap some benefits and rewards from being a spoken word, which is more like, in parentheses, a hip-hop kind of poet. But at the core, I just think I'm a poet who writes and sees life in a very poetic, you know, way. And so it's been an awesome opportunity to come full circle and to sort of marry myself as a thespian or an actor to myself as a poet. And Walton Isaacson and Lexis and TV1 and all of the folks involved just have allowed me to do that and remind the world that doesn't know me as a poet that, you know, at the core of this cat, this is what he really is. So I think it's very humbling, a blessing.
Now, we are a literary show, and I mean, all our core, well, everything I've built around the Michigan Literary Show is basically around the love of books. So we do like to ask our participants, what book, when you were younger, just really impacted you and really kept you going, or just was really an awesome book that you think everybody should pick up at a young age?
Cool question. You're asking some good stuff, girl. Because, you know, you interrupted my motorcycle ride. I literally pulled over on the side of the road. I'm with one of my best friends, and we are en route on our Harley Davidsons riding the mountain of Los Angeles before I catch a plane ye morning at the break of dawn and come to you. I hope that was poetic enough for you. And you're killing my motorcycle ride. So thank you for your good questions. I would say, yeah, exactly. Thank you. I would say Holden Caulfield was, you know, my character who felt like my friend when I was growing up. You know, I was Catcher in the Rye is the book, of course, and mm-hmm. I really related to him. And I thought that, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, maybe Holden is somebody that maybe should not have complained as much as he did in the book. And when I look back at it, I'm like, well, it's kind of like looking at Emil Hirsch's loosely designed from the journal written by the cat that went to Emory University, adapted, of course, by Sean Penn in an incredible movie, Into the Wild, which is a very, very good movie, and I love it. And a lot like Emil Hirsch's character in Into the Wild, there was this nature of rebellion, and I got to figure life out, and, you know, Holden Caulfield was trying to figure it out via school and a very private school type of atmosphere, but finding levels of rebellion and really sometimes rebellion without a cause, because it's like, well, you ain't growing up needing to rebel just to figure out who you are. But for me, and Holden was not an African-American character, for me as an African-American reading that book and now looking back at it in my mid-30s, I look at it in a way of, you know, it's ironic because me and the friends that were growing up around me, we had more of perhaps a need to rebel with a cause, you know, not without a cause. But he definitely was a great example of the kid life that I was going through in Decatur, Georgia, but also having to be grown overnight and figure out, you know, who to hang with, who not to hang with, when I brush my teeth in the morning to really look deep into the mirror and to figure out who I am. I mean, it was really a great book. So I would say that one, and ultimately The Alchemist from Coelho. I thought that was just an incredible book that I have revisited, sort of like revisiting the Bible. You know, I read it a lot, and I think it's really good. So those are the two that stood out to me, Catcher in the Rye, and I would say the lifetime relationship that I've developed with The Alchemist as I pick it up periodically.
That is just awesome. Thank you for sharing that with you. I'm going to let you get back to your motorcycle ride.
Okay, I'm going to ride for all of Detroit. I'm a ride for Michigan. I'm a ride for, you know, just the Midwest. How about I do that? I'm going to just ride for the Midwest this morning.
313 in the house.
All the way. 313. You should get that tattoo. So when I finally meet you, you know.
There are a lot of people in Detroit that actually do have 313
tattoos. Oh, then you don't want to do that.
They are truly important.
I got a very good friend who's a great poet out of Detroit, Jessica Caremore. I'm sure you know Jessica.
Yes. And, we went to high school together, actually.
Well, she's one of my closest friends and just a great writer and truly a poet. And she is 313 to the heart, so I want to shout her out if she's listening or, you know, if anybody who has been under her tutelage, because she teaches a lot, is listening, I just want to say you're in great hands. And just shout out to Detroit, man. I love the city. I love what they did for Sparkle. I love what they've done for just the heart and the spirit of America. To me, really, really lies in the build back of Detroit and New Orleans, I would say, but especially Detroit. So shout out to Detroit. Thank you.
Thank you, and you have a great night, and I can't wait to see you in Detroit. Make sure, if you want, look us up to the Motown Writers Network. We are having like a book drive to help gently use books.
Okay, well, shout me out. Are you coming to the theater?
I was going to come. Yeah, I was definitely going to come. I have it on my calendar. My assistant put it on there, so we're scheduled to be there.
So give me that website when I see you, and then just throw up the 313, and I'll find you an audience.
Okay, motownwriters.com, and I'll definitely do that.
All right, cool. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great ride.
Do the same. Peace. No, you don't have a great ride. Have a great rest of the day on the radio.
Rest of the night.
All right, later.
Later. Okay, we want to thank Omari Hartwick for joining us. We really appreciate him taking the time out for taking us through the middle of nowhere. Don't forget, it is opening this Friday, October 19th, at Metro Detroit Area Theaters. Get your ticket now. Show your support for independent film and Mr. DuVernay for being the first African-American woman to win the Sundance 2012 Director's Award. Don't forget The Middle of Nowhere. It has Omari Hartwick, who plays Derek. And it's the struggle of a woman actually going between her life and choosing between two men. So it's a powerful movie, and I hope you go and support this independent film, because it really shows that, you know, we can bring out great acting in the independent film world and just to the screen. So I hope to see you. I hope you join Omari and I, and most likely I know Jessica is going to be there as we enjoy the movie, support, and just have a great time. Don't forget, we have our second set. We have actually our conference coming up in November. If you haven't got your ad in, you have actually one more day to get your ad in. You can always contact me. We have postcard size ads and business card size ads. Postcard size ads are 45, business cards are 25. So if you want, PayPal, MotownWriters@yahoo.com, and then email me or text me immediately after you pay, so then I can tell you what email to send the print ready a picture too, so we can get it in the book. Like I said, you got one more day after this. We also, for our room, we had a random picker of our chat line and people who have called in for the Terry McMillan tickets. We were given 10 away. We're actually going to give one away on the show. And we have picked J. Michael Collins to win tickets to see Miss Terry McMillan November first at the casino. So J. Michael Collins, I want you to make sure you contact us so we can get your name on the list to get your ticket to see Miss Terry McMillan in Detroit at I believe it's Motor City Casino. So congratulations. He is also editor and founder of SSWmagazine.com. So you can find and check him out. We're gonna wrap it up, get out of here. And have a great night, Detroit. Don't forget our book drive is going on. Check out our website at MotownWriters.com for all our upcoming events, the conference, the book drive, just everything. And I want to thank you for joining us. If you're listening on podcasts, share this show with others and let them know what a great time we had. And I hope to see you next week, where we'll have more news in the Lips Network of Michigan and Metro Detroit. Have a great night, Detroit.